Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
1, 2, 3, 4. Come join us on this trip. No.
That was a bit of an orgasmic.
Yeah, you really felt that one.
Not as orgasmic as this. It's only I'm doing this only because last time we did this last year, I had a beer and I was like, you know what? I've got some beers in the fridge.
You know, there was a part of me that was kind of hoping it was a can, just because I don't know if you've listened to the Entourage Rewatch podcast Victory. They used to do this thing where they would open their like a can of Guinness, call it Irish crickets.
Irish crickets.
Irish crickets.
I like that.
It's good. It's good. All right, everyone. So this is a.
Hang on. This is a BrewDog.
BrewDog.
My brother in Christ. If I have two of these, I'm dying. They are 15.3%.
My God.
This is a stout beer. 15.3%.
My brother in Christ.
I have two of these bad boys. BrewDog, why? Teenage kicks? If you drink this if you're a teenager, you're not
dying.
Waking up the next day, bruv. Yeah, death. It's over. It's over. Go home. It's over. It's ogre.
Well, that's kind of the sentiment for this. You know, we're in the middle of December. Like 2022 is basically over. So that's that segue.
There's that segue. We have to talk about. We have to talk like it's middle of December, but it's not.
It's close enough.
That last episode, what a hoot! I definitely remember recording that one.
I mean, we're talking about all episodes. Like, we made some predictions for this year.
We did,
and so, you know, we got some stuff right, and we got some stuff very, very wrong, very very wrong.
Oh, so very wrong. It was nice to hear 27-year-old me, and just be like, shut up.
Like, shut up.
Stop talking. Shut up. This episode would be 30 minutes if you shut up. But no, yes, as Sebastian just said, last year we did a sort of a 2022 wrapped up as well as a sort of, no, well, 2021 wrapped up. And then we did expectations for 2022 in terms of TV, movies, games as well and ourselves. Stuff, yep. And we thought it would be an interesting episode as we sign off on 2022 to sort of look back at that and just go, oh, wow.
Well, this is kind of like a combination episode where we're looking at, you know, what we got right in our predictions, what we got wrong, but also like looking back at 2022 as a whole, you know, our favorite movies, our favorite brand new TV show, like our recurring shows. Oh God. What? Jesus, you had an experience.
That beer was a bad choice. I'm sure I'll come to love it in two more sips time. I'll finish off the next bottle and I'll be like, where's the next one?
It looked like Satan was trying to escape.
Oh no, he wasn't trying to escape. He was trying to stay in and just be like, no, you brought me here, fucker. I'm staying. My body won't get rid of him. And now he's living here, rent free.
Oh shit.
Sorry, I interrupted you. So yes, and we kind of want to also sort of suggest, not suggest, but say what we did like about this year.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I got some stuff that
I also that I liked. Watched some stuff that I liked.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you want to kick things off with? You want to start off with we got wrong in the movie to favorites, or
I just want to hear what your decision is about what you got wrong.
All right. We'll kick it off there. Let's get this negativity out the fucking door. So if you listen to our looking forward to 2022 episode, one of the things that I was very much excited for, that I was very much like, yes, this is going to be so dope, was the movie The Flash.
Oh, I thought you were going to do your overall movie.
No, holy shit. I couldn't have been more wrong.
Not only did that movie not come out this year, no one wants it.
There was no way in hell I could have predicted the shit show that would have followed this fucking movie. Like, all the stuff with Ezra Miller, everything going on with Warner Discovery, the pushing back and not being able to even afford getting the fucking movie out. And it's just, I couldn't have been more wrong. Yes, like I was, don't get me wrong, Lightyear wasn't the best movie, but it actually came out.
No, it wasn't. It was not.
But it came out.
It did.
The fucking Flash didn't even exist this year.
No, it did not. I think Warner Bros. Is happy that it's like taking a little bit of a back burner, because there was a point around summer where...
Mm-hmm.
So like this time, if we sort of say this time last year, let's just keep it at that and sort of...
Yeah.
It basically was. Ezra Miller was already doing stuff and I had no clue. Like I listened to that episode and I was clueless. No, you did. You knew he had like some shit going down, like you just didn't know the extent of. But there was a point this year where Ezra must have heard that podcast and just gone, "Hold my beer, fuckers!" And he drank one of these Brew Dogs, and he just flipped, bro.
Man, he went off,
I don't even want to say if they're conspiracies or rumors, because I'm inclined to think they're true. But like, there's like stories of cults, stories of like kidnapping. He actually did break into a house and steal some booze, which is what he's being like, he's currently in court for, facing charges.
Yeah, they were arrested a lot this year.
I think the worst thing was that whilst this was all going on and they were fucking up, Warner Bros. Was like, maybe we can, you know, just like sneakily do some reshoots and no one will know. Fuck off. Did you just pay this man? Well, this person, sorry. I got it wrong. Ooh, I don't give a shit. Like, you only get that shit if you're a decent, upstanding human being. Ezra Miller is not. So if I get their pronouns wrong, sue me. I don't give a fuck. Like, they're a horrible person. Absolute horrible person. Like they should be going to jail. They should have not been paid for reshoots. And this Flashpoint movie, it shouldn't come out in my eyes now.
Honestly, I agree. Like, it is such a fucking shame that so many people who worked on this were essentially just told, you know.
And it's also a shame that it was testing at the time of shit going down, and apparently it was testing really well.
Yeah.
Like, I think I had a friend who saw it in a test screen and was like, yo, like, you're gonna want to see that movie, man. And I feel sorry for James Gunn.
How can you do that now?
I feel like James Gunn finally comes in, you know, he gets the big dog job, like, and probably one of the first things on his table is Flashpoint ?
Yep. It's like, hey, we have this
good
Flash
luck, James.
Problem.
I mean, I'm
it's
wish
yours
you all the luck,
now.
Bro. Like, yeah, I love you. I loved the holiday special. It was great. It was heartwarming.
Oh, I loved that. It was great.
It's the freshest thing Marvel has done in all of Phase 4 in my mind.
Definitely different,
but
is really nice.
Damn, he's got a job on his hands for the DC job. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yep.
Holy
so
shit.
That's what I got wrong. What did you get wrong?
I got wrong my personal goal. My fat ass literally sat here a year ago and said, oh, my short film's going to get a BAFTA. This short film's going to be great. Wah, wah, wah. That movie bombed like a motherfucker. It was a great little movie. I'm happy I did it. It moved me, moved me professionally in Birmingham. But, the movie itself, like, whether it was made, whether it wasn't made, like, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't really matter. And kind of, I'm in a point in my life where the things I do make do need to matter. And at this point, I spent a lot of money on that movie that I probably could have spent on, you know, maybe funding something else. Putting together, like, I met a lot of people because of that movie, but, like, I was very hyped for, like, I had better expectations of this movie. And I think I actually handled it well in post-production in terms of, like, I know some people think post-production, think editing, but, like, sort of the festival run. The movie's still in the festival run, but am I motivated to put it into festivals that cost a lot of money? Nah, not at all. No.
Gotcha.
Like, not when I've got another project coming out. And then that one's going to win. No. I'm not doing it this time.
No, but actually, I do... Just because you brought it up, I do want to mention it, because it was listening back at that to that episode, the movie you were overall excited for was The Northman, and the way you were passionately talking about Vikings. And then it's like, you know how when you listen to something and it's like, holy crap, did this dude just predict the future? Because you wrote a Viking short and it was produced and it's in post-production, bro. Like, holy shit. Like, that's fucking insane.
Me
and
my,
like,
guys watch The Northman.
Nostradamus needs to chill over here.
Me and the guys that made that movie that ultimately didn't do well in festivals, we've been working on another project, which is a Viking project. And I dick swung a little bit. I told these guys to watch The Northman. It's great. I could write a Viking movie. And these guys, they hated Northman so much, they were like, okay, cool, go write a Viking movie that's better than that one and we'll do it. I was like, better than that? What do you mean better than that one? They hated it. But
Jesus.
If I want to talk about something I got right, well, actually, no. Just because I like The Northman doesn't mean it was the right pick, but let's move on to sort of what I got right. I got a few things right, actually. Oh, do I need to talk about what I got wrong? No, I just did that. Sorry,
yeah,
this 13.5% beer is... mad whack. I've had
no
half,
worries.
I've had,
yeah, no,
I've had
right,
half of this
which,
bottle
which
already.
You got,
and
what
so,
you get right, bro?
What did I get right? It's a toss up. It's a toss up. I don't know if Better Call Saul or Batman. I'm gonna go with Batman.
You know Batman
because
okay.
Like I was ready for Batman. I was hyped for Batman, and a few of my friends were skeptical. They were like, ooh, you know, could go. It could go left or right. And I've got some friends that hate this movie beyond all recognition. Like, one of my friends said they were close to walking out of it. They've never walked out of a movie before, but they considered it during Batman. They just lick the shit off Christopher Nolan and the Dark Knight trilogy. They're not willing to sort of accept another Batman, especially one that's like a Gen Z emo. When these these friends of mine, they're very much into sort of like old school cinema. One of them's massive into Korean cinema. And it, you know, he's welcome to be into those kind of movies. I'm also into those movies when I am. But I think they're wrong about this movie. I think Batman was great. I even said, and I quote, "I think this will be the best Batman movie since The Dark Knight. I think it'll be up there with The Dark Knight." And a lot of people will agree with me with that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think there's more people on my side than against on this one. When there's a, like, I wanted to say my overall movie was the right pick, The Northman. But, like, that movie bombed financially. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like it. There's a lot more people vocal about not liking it. I think it's got a bit of a cult following. But I just want to mention one thing about The Northman. It was directed by Robert Eggers.
Yeah.
And if you direct a movie like The Northman, and because of it, Marvel goes, maybe that's the direction we need to take for the new Thor movie to get Chris Hemsworth back, then we'll do it. I'd be like, yes, that is exactly why we do indie movies. Well, some of us. We do those indie movies so that Marvel, DC can see them and go, yo, we kind of need something like that. Maybe not as much, you know, arm cutting off and blood and the lickable bottom of Anya Taylor-Joy, but, you know, if Marvel wants to, you know, go that route, you know, that'll get me interested in phase, like, 6 or 7. She's not in Marvel yet, but she will be someday. And, you know,
at some point, yeah.
I will be there watching.
I did want to say, though, as far as Batman, I loved it. I think my only gripe with it, it just felt long.
It's pretty long, but that, then again,
that's really the old, the long really Halloween, the only thing.
It's based off the long Halloween, bro. Like,
no, and I get that. I thought Robert Pattinson was phenomenal. Like, I didn't have high expectations or really low expectations.
No
for
one
it, I
like this is like sort just... of. It was a good mid expectation movie. Like, you know, you expect DC to get at least, you know, one franchise right. In a franchise that is dying, and so if it's going to get anything right, you'd expect it to be a Batman movie.
And I liked the very grounded approach to Batman. Like, yeah, he still had like a bunch of like tech stuff, but at the end of the day, like, even his Batmobile was just basically a muscle car on steroids. There wasn't anything like crazy tech or anything like that. I thought fucking Colin Farrell as the Penguin, really good too. That blew me away.
One of the things my guys hate, like, they picked out was the Batmobile. I like, up until this point, I was listening. I'd be like, okay, cool. You know, you've got your own thoughts. Mm-hmm. Maybe shut the fuck up a little bit. You don't have to, you know. Just because I like the movie doesn't mean you need to keep going in. Like, let me go in on some of the movies you like, bro. Like, you know. Like, then you can tell me to shut up and, like, we'll sort of be at a stalemate. But they just kept going, and then what they picked out the Batmobile. I was like, you shut your whole mouth. That Batmobile is perfect. The fact, like, don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. That Batmobile, the reveal of that thing being, like, I consider that reveal of Batman, the Batmobile, to be the reveal of Godzilla in the Gareth Edwards Godzilla movie, to be the reveal of Michael Myers in the new Halloween Ends, which they kind of tried to do a sort of Anthony Hopkins Godzilla thing. He was only in it for like 18 minutes in like a 3-hour movie. I didn't watch it because I thought, is it Halloween Kills was the one before it? Not this year, last year. It was so dog shit. I was like, no. I'm glad the director still speaks well of it. Like, I, you know, quote unquote, I got, like, that was the movie I wanted. I was like, good. You know, that basically means studios tried to push back and you said, no, it's going to be this movie. I'm glad you did that. But, no, bad movie. Like, this thing, like, this vehicle was, like, revealed like a horror movie villain. The sound design behind it as well. But like one of their gripes was just like, oh, a ramp appears out of nowhere for this car. I was like, you know, there was like a 20 car pileup. Of course, there's going to be at some point a car that's going to angle to the point where a car like the Batmobile is going to be like, oh, a natural ramp.
There you go.
And then, oh man, just I loved it. It felt like a Gotham.
Yeah.
Like it had the same vibe for me as like the Gotham in Joker. Just on ground level, a shithole. But there was like this sort of level that just like could look down. Mm-hmm. Like every single time you were elevated in this Batman movie, you felt like you were in a position of like looking down on Gotham. Like you were better than the ground level. But oh my god, the fight scenes, it felt like Arkham Asylum. You felt those punches. They had, like these guys. I don't want to shit on my friends, but like they shat on Batman. I didn't stand up for myself, and I'm kind of doing so now. They didn't like the hallway scene. And I was like, because like apparently it was too dark, and like my friend, like they work in TV and film, and they had sort of like technical aspects they didn't like about that. I was like, it was designed to be dark. Like it was Batman using his sort of his superpower, darkness, and like the gunshots being like the only source of lighting. It aesthetically nailed it for me.
Yeah.
Like there was, and so I feel like I picked the right choice.
Yeah,
a lot of comic book movies came out this year. A lot of them forgettable, and I think the Batman sort of paved the way for, and it is not one of those. It paved the way for a great year in comic book movies for 2022, especially for DC. They had Batman and Peacemaker this year.
Yep, and then they fumbled the ball with Black Adam.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
It did. They really fucking did.
That was a movie I did not need.
Fucking A. All right. Well, to put us back in a positive note, what I...
No, I you like, ruined it now. You mentioned Black Adam.
I feel like I was pretty good. Like, this was the right pick. Like, this was the best pick in terms of everything that I had. And I had picked Kenobi. I fucking loved Kenobi. Holy shit. That last duel between Vader and Kenobi, and Vader saying, "You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker. I did." Fuck me. That made the show for me.
The sound design on that, where it's like sort of, it struggles between his Darth Vader voice and is it Anakin? I was about to say Luke then. I was about to get so many people like, "Well, yeah, you're even a Star Wars fan?" No, it's just like, same. That sort of, "You didn't kill Anakin, I did." Like,
and even visually, the way they did it, where it was like you had the blue hue from Kenobi's lightsaber kind of on Anakin's face, and as soon as he finished the line, his red hue just completely took over. Fuck me, dude. Such a great visual. And I'm not gonna lie, at first I kind of felt like kind of shoehorning Princess Leia into that was like, but it worked. And the actress, the kid who played Princess Leia, so good. She's so good.
Yeah.
And like the whole arc of the show, and then you get, you know, fucking Qui-Gon Jinn making an appearance at the end as a Force ghost, and you're like, holy shit. Absolutely. That was the right pick. I was so happy.
Well, you could have also gone with God of War. I know you've not played it yet, but...
Well, that's why I didn't, there's
a lot of 10 out of 10s for Ragnarok.
Oh, no, yeah. And like, but again, the reason I didn't pick it was because I haven't played it yet.
No, because I told you to play Ghost of Tsushima.
Good, it was such a good call, dude. So good. Yeah, it's so fucking good.
I want to get it on my PS5.
Bro, it is such a beautiful fucking game.
Oh, I need to apologize, by the way. So this time last year, I told you I'd completed Spider-Man.
I remember. I saw that.
So that was a lie.
That was a bold-faced lie.
You know what I haven't done since you left? You know, when you came over and you helped me play Spider-Man?
Uh-huh.
Haven't played it, bro. Spider-Man. By the time I got back to playing games. No, well, here's... So, I keep being told by people, like... You know, my dad keeps, like... We order food from Tesco, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, before I left for LA in September... I was, like, I'd lost a bunch of weight. I was on the kale and spinach smoothies. Like, I was going to the gym and shit. And I just, like, there was a moment of clarity last week. I'd come home. Mm-hmm. I'd given myself a little bit of time off because I was ill. Because I was to come off post-production from West Sides of the Raven. So I flew to LA in September.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came to the UK with me. And then I went mm-hmm. straight into pre-production for Raven. Which then went yeah. straight into production of The Raven, which then went straight into post-production of The Raven. And in between that, I've been doing other projects. We've been trying to maintain the podcast. We've been failing to do that. We can't sit here and say that we've been busy. We've been doing yeah. life shit. You know, but then, you know, you got, like, I was ill, you were ill, you know, I guess you were more ill than me. You had Rona. I just had a cold.
It finally got me.
It finally got you.
It found me. I don't know how, but it found me.
Yeah, so, like, I've just been sitting here. I was like, yo, like, I actually feel like I need Christmas this year. I just want a bit of time to play a bit of games. Like, there was a week, like, where I was alone. But, like, again, I got a bunch of work done. I had stuff to do. I did that stuff.
Yeah.
I just feel like only now, as we've entered December, have, like, can I sit down at my computer every, like, on a daily basis and go, all right, let's see what else needs doing. Up until this point, it's been, crap, let me do this, need to go to this, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa, fuck, it's December. Yes, yesterday my best friend was getting married, like... Like, my best mate got married, and a week later, I flew to yep. LA. And I feel like I said to my dad, 2 weeks ago, my best mate was getting married. And my dad goes, no, he didn't. And then I sat him down, and I talked about this, and I was like, fuck, even I need a beer after that. Because, like, he actually understood, like... It all yeah. made sense. There was days here and there where I wasn't doing anything, but because my life was so busy, those days mm-hmm. here and there, I spent just, like, sort of just going, whoa. What the fuck is going on? So, my Christmas, like, I don't know if I need to make this a New Year's resolution, but definitely over Christmas, mm-hmm. I need to finish the Guardians of the Galaxy game that I got last Christmas, that I've been stuck in on, like, I've been stuck on the final mission since May, and I need to finish Spider-Man. And actually, and, like, when I do, like, the next time I come into the podcast and I tell you I've finished Spider-Man, I swear to God it'll be the truth. No more bullshit.
No more bullshit.
And all I've got is the story missions. You literally came around my house and was like, let me just knock off all this other bullshit for you. You just looked at me as you're getting on the plane and just goes, just, you've got, like, two missions left, bro. It's just, like, just fucking do them. Man, big man came round my house, literally nailed 70% of the game and left me with two missions. My bitch ass couldn't do those.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Christ.
Right. So, getting back to it, do you want to do should you do TV stuff first and then end with movie, or do you want to do movie first and end with TV? Because TV's two categories, obviously movie's just kind of one.
Can I add a category to yeah. movies? Favorite DC Marvel?
Sure. Okay. Kind of, well, I mean...
Kind of fits into our cauldron of shit we talk about on this podcast.
Fair. I guess, obviously, just because, you know, we kind of talked about it extensively, I wouldn't pick Batman.
So maybe not do favorite DC one. No, I know what I'm going to pick. So I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So yeah, I can do DC Marvel. Yeah, we're gonna do it on the fly. We're gonna freeballing for once.
Let's do it. All right. So give me your.
I'm just gonna do the initials of the thing I'm gonna choose. Fuck.
Okay. So wait, just so obviously DC or Marvel, but when we say DC Marvel, are we picking TV and movie?
You can do a TV show.
Okay. Cool. That's what I just wanted.
You can pick a movie. You can pick a TV. That one's dealer's choice.
Got you. All right.
I'll tell you, all right, mine is a movie. Oh, do you want me to hit right now? Right, like...
Yes, sir.
Just get my balls out, like, let them roam free. Wakanda Forever.
Nice.
And I'll tell you why. You want to know why, and fucking Sebastian, I'm going to tell you. The fucking music, bro. Ludwig Göransson.
I, because of COVID and stuff, I haven't gotten to see it. When I was going to see it,
The reason why this is my favorite movie isn't because of story or anything like that.
All right, cool.
It's something so me, it kind of hurts. Ludwig Göransson does the music for this movie. Now, you know Ludwig. Okay. Oh, Ludwig, because I guess he's European.
Mm-hmm.
Does the opening music for Community. Motherfucker just did Wakanda Forever.
Wow.
I think he's nailed this forgettable music curse that Marvel has had. And I'd sort of said, why is that a thing when Marvel has the likes of Alan Silvestri did Endgame and Infinity War, I believe. And then between that, like singular movies, you have the likes of Michael Giacchino. Why does Marvel have forgettable music?
Mm-hmm.
And they must have thought the same thing, because if they didn't, they'd bring these motherfuckers back. But they didn't. They brought Ludwig. And like the actual theme, you can go onto Spotify now. You can listen to it. It's called Wakanda Forever. It's at the end of like it got all the original music that Rihanna did. It was a great song. It's probably gonna win the Oscar. But like the actual composed pieces of music are at the bottom of the Wakanda Forever album. And the first track is Wakanda Forever. Holy shit, this piece of music. When you finally see this shit in cinemas, you'll know when you hear it. Because you'll just go, whoa, that is a fucking beat, man. And you hear it once at the start of the movie, and you don't hear it again till like a certain plot point. And then when that plot point hits, it's like it keeps recurring. But it's like it's kind of like it has that sort of up vibe. They play it with just percussion instruments. They play it with just African traditional instruments. Then they play it with like synth and bass. Anytime you hear this theme, you hear it. You hear the theme. You don't hear what it's being played on, because the theme itself is so fucking powerful. And I'm tapping my fingers. Like, I've seen this movie twice, and I remember seeing it the first time in the movie and just going, I saw it again with my dad recently, because my dad loves seeing Marvel movies, and it's good for me. Like, I see it once and I've got my heart eye emojis on. I'm like, oh, Marvel cinema. And then I see it again. I'm like, this is actually bullshit, man. No, this time I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to get again. I'm going to get that theme, man. I'm like, I came home. I was playing games. I was waiting for my boy to jump on. And like, I don't listen to music when I play games, but I put my headphones on. I was like, my game right now is Call of Duty. I'm just shooting things. I was like, let me put some music on. I played this thing on repeat. I was like, bam, you're dead, bruv. Bam, do one. Bam, fuck off. Bam, get fucked. And I'm listening to this piece of music, and I was like I'm ready to go on game chat, but boys, you're getting done over someone listening to Wakanda Forever right now. Like, and honestly, I hope Ludwig gets like more opportunity to do music in the MCU, because holy shit,
Yeah.
Music alone has propelled Wakanda Forever to be my favorite DC Marvel. And I'll probably be the only motherfucker you'll hear say that.
Fucking
and I love being that unique. Like, that's the whole point. Like, it's your choice, it's your opinion, and it's my opinion. The music is so good in this movie. It's like the best composed piece of music Marvel has ever had.
Nice. Okay, so I in thinking about like DC or Marvel for me, my focus is really on the TV shows, because like as far as the movies, I liked Multiverse of Madness. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Fucking Love and Thunder. I did not like it. It was just not good. I haven't seen Wakanda Forever yet, but it was a toss up for me between all the other shows that I liked them. But I gotta go with Peacemaker.
Nice.
Huge Peacemaker show. Was so good. It was so fucking funny. And it's probably one of the only shows where I would watch an episode and I wouldn't skip the opening credits.
Yep. Those opening credits.
It was so fucking good. All the performances were phenomenal. John Cena was fucking hilarious. Vigilante, fuck me, dude. He is so funny. And it's just like, even like fucking Viola Davis is still Amanda Waller in this universe, and I'm here for it. It's just so fucking funny.
Are they trying to make her to be out like, the way I see Viola Davis as Amanda Waller now in the DC universe is like the actor who plays M in James Bond. Just
I think so.
change the characters around her, but just for whatever reason, keep Viola Davis as Amanda Waller.
Fucking nails it,
nails
man.
It every time when she needs to be sort of like Andre Brower, straight but funny from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. She nails it. I need a conversation between Captain Hauer,
Captain Holt,
I need a conversation between Captain Holt and Amanda Waller. Just for no fucking reason. I need these two to, like, if I ever see these two in the same room, I'd be like, oi, Andre, Viola, get here now. Now. You're Amanda Waller. You're Holt. You like Marvel. You like DC. Talk. Need that conversation. I need that conversation, man. I'd be creasing in seconds.
Even the action was really good, too. And the ending of it, I thought, was fucking hilarious. Justice League shows up, he's giving them shit, and Aquaman's like, well, I hate that rumor. Help me fucking fish.
Fuck the fish.
Oh, man. I think, because Moon Knight was amazing, and I loved Ms. Marvel, but there was something. Peacemaker was just different.
Moon Knight didn't have me till the second to last episode. Yeah, up until the second to last episode, I was getting a little bit skeptical. I was like, where are we going? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. Why does Oscar Isaac have this horrible English accent? And then the second last episode hits, and he was like, give me a hug. Come
right?
Here. Bring it in. Like,
oh, yeah. Like it was definitely like a toss up for me, but yeah, again, Peacemaker was something different.
Peacemaker was almost my favorite TV show, my favorite new show. It was
I'm fucked on that one, because I narrowing that shit down has been a bitch. But like
mine, I just finished yesterday.
Okay, well, since we're talking about it, give me your favorite TV show of the year.
My new favorite TV show of the year, The Terminal List.
Ooh, okay.
It's based on a book written by Jack Carr. It stars Chris Pratt. It's got Jai Courtney in it. It's got Taylor Kitsch in it. And like, so I've been playing Call of Duty. And I think since we've been doing the podcast, there's a few episodes where I've talked about like Warzone. I've talked about like sort of where Warzone is as a game, where Call of Duty is as a game. But they recently brought out the new game, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Because we already have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. This is the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. So this, like this, and I like, these are the Call of Duty games I live for. These are the ones I grew up with as a kid. I grew up with Modern Warfare 2. Like, mm-hmm. even though if you haven't played it, you've probably seen like TikTok videos where you watch Ghost get portrayed by Shepard at the end of it, and people love Ghost. And like yeah. it was this huge thing. Like everyone was like, "No, you son of a bitch! You son of a bitch!" And that was the worst Cleveland impression ever. If my mate ever listens to this, he's probably going to be like, "Yo, like we need to talk." but this shit is like, you're in like New York, you're in the Middle East, and I think even in this one, you're in like Mexico, and like it's like. Real cities, like it's close to home, and like this is like the kind of like gun game I love. And Terminal List, like you can just tell the guy who wrote this, he did some proper research, and it's a combination of Jack Ryan, Jack Reacher, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Tom Clancy stuff. I know Jack Ryan is Tom Clancy, but like other Tom Clancy, and it's like. And I know Chris Pratt is a gun-toting Republican, so like the role he plays is actually probably perfect for him to play. But like, he just nails this role, man. And like, mm-hmm. it's got like sort of, whilst it's still sort of, you know, hoorah Americans, like, you know, betray the Navy SEALs, the Navy SEALs gonna fight back, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But like, the mystery keeps evolving. You're like, shit, like. You know, I thought this list was just going to be like 3-4 names. You know, it was going to be companies, and then boom, he adds like General So and So, and I was like, "You mean this motherfucker is going to have to go to fucking Coronado and kill a fucking general in the U.S. military?" All right, cool. Let me see the next episode and see how that fucking goes down. But there's this moment. There's this moment where he's hunting down, like, sort of. I think you see it in the trailer. He loses his wife and kids. And he hunts down the killer with like a group of friends. They're in Mexico, and like they just let him do it. Like they turn around, is like, "Here's the guy," and he takes him into this warehouse. And he has like, in the opening credits, you see these two axes on the wall. And I first time I saw the opening credits, I said to my folks, "He's gonna use them motherfuckers, and it's gonna be fucking brutal." I wasn't joking. He sort of takes like, sort of, you know, you got like the axe head. There's like a real sharp, like sort of almost like a hammer. One end picks out nails, one hand hammers them in. Kind of, it's the same thing with an axe. There's one that picks and there's one that chops. He picks into this guy's intestines. And you think, "Oh, okay, we're not going to see it." No, you see Chris Pratt pull out this guy's intestines, big bloody sausage. He uses the axe, nails it to this wall, like up above him, and he says, "Walk." Oh! It is excruciating, it's gruesome, and even my mum sits there, is like, "Yep, deserves it." Because he kills Chris Pratt's wife and kid. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, and I'm like, "Yep. Yep." Like, usually when this kind of shit happens, when Jack Ryan goes too far, when Jack Reacher goes too far, James Bond, Jack Bauer, when they go too far, it's like, how do these motherfuckers get back? We've always seen them, like, sort of be violent and be brutal, but, like, it's always, like, sort of with the essence of, they're not going to go too far. They're always going to leave stuff on the table. There's always part of the table that they're not going to reach to. But, like, the Terminal List goes, fuck that. Chris Pratt's going to break the fucking table. Chris Pratt's going to break the table, put it back together, not be happy with how he put it back together, and break it again. And it was nice to see a show like this sort of like, okay, yeah, we know there's other similar shit. Let me show you why this show's going to be different. And whether there's a second season or not, I don't know. I hope there is, because this season was so damn good. But if there's not, it will probably stand as one, like, it will be up there with The Watchmen as one of my favorite singular season TV series of all time. Limited series, I think you call them. Nice. I hope there's another season, though, because there's question marks at the end of the season. I was like, what? But it was also nice to see it solved as well. Like, you know, there was a moment in the last episode where I was like, please don't like be ambiguous in terms of like, it was him, but who hired them? Dum dum. It's just like, no, all questions get answered, and I love those kind of shows. But it like, so I know I said, it, what did I say? The Terminalist, Peacemaker and the Terminalist. It could have easily been Jack Reacher.
Mm, okay.
But I can't really tell you why. Maybe because Terminalist is fresh in my mind. But maybe if I watch Jack Reacher again, I'd probably change it because I love me some Fat Castle. I know you do too. I know you do. Roder. Yeah, Terminalist. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. If you're into that kind of stuff, go watch it. I know me and you have some friends who really aren't into that kind of stuff who will watch it anyway and then not be a fan of it.
Yep.
But oh, what's yours? Okay. And you're not allowed to choose Peacemaker. And you're not allowed to choose Jack Reacher now. Because I've mentioned it.
So this is the one I think I was struggling the most because, like, in terms of TV, I remember going into this year convincing myself to watch as much new TV as I could. Mm. Just because, like, I
there was a lot of good new TV.
Like, I got into this very repetitive, like, you know, watching the same shows over and over again, and then, like, going back to doing rewatches, which is fine every once in a while, but I was very focused on, like, even if they're new to me, you know, but
yeah.
For the sake of this list, there was so much new shit that came out this year. It blows my fucking mind.
Yep.
And narrowing it down was such a bitch.
How many have you, like, narrowed it down so to? Many... Two, three?
No. I've kind of like processing all of the shows in my head, I picked my favorite.
Okay.
But like, so the ones that stood out to me were shows like, you know, Severance, Abbott Elementary, Pam and Tommy, which I thought was really good too. This Loot, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a show that Maya Rudolph's doing on Apple.
No.
Like, the basic premise of the show is that she gets divorced from like her billionaire tech husband. She gets a stupid amount of money, and then she realizes that there's a charity fund under her name, so she starts working with them, and it's like her trying to do the right thing and be very charitable and kind of being like goofy about it and kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, that was one of them. And then there's this other show on HBO Max called The Minx, which I thought was really good. It's, you know, set in the 70s, so.
Anything set in 70s, 80s, that's you all over it.
Oh, absolutely. That's literally the only reason that I was even interested in watching it. I was like, it's set in the 70s, Jake Johnson's in it, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. But my favorite show of the year, my absolute favorite show of 2022 is The Bear.
That's why I didn't pick it. The Bear was up. It was up there for me, and I was like, I think Seb's gonna pick this one. And if I'm gonna anticipate the, oh, we've picked the same thing, so one of us has to change. And you know what? Like, how about I just change my answer now to like, I'm happy with the Terminalist, but like, yeah, I'm annoyed I didn't remember Severance. Like, I prided myself on picking.
Mm-hmm.
Shit that I could remember, like I didn't want to have to go to Google and be like, what came out this year? I'd be like,
yeah,
but if I have to remember it, then clearly,
yeah,
you know, at the time I feel like I'm gonna remember the Terminalist. I'm annoyed with myself that I didn't remember Severance when I was doing this, because
yeah,
Severance is like, I need that
Severance
second
is really
season.
Good.
I need that second season, like,
same.
Right the fuck now.
For real.
The way that but first like, season ends, but like, yeah, The Bear. I recently showed my mum The Bear, and she like, we got to episode 6 and we had to stop for like a month before we watched episode 7. And if you've watched The Bear, you know
you
of the curse of episode 7.
I have never been. I can honestly say that I have never watched a TV show.
And it stresses so you out.
Fucking stressed. So fucking stressed. So I love cooking. I love cooking, and I love watching cooking shows, and I love watching cooking competitions and anything that has to do with the kitchen. There's just something about it that I connect with, and when I'm cooking, it calms me. Even if I seem like I'm kind of all over the place and I'm a little scatterbrained when I'm cooking, I'm actually calm and like I'm focused and you know, and it centers me. So watching this show and Jeremy Allen White, holy fuck, his performance is phenomenal.
Get this man so many more movies, TV. I know there was a recent interview where he said like he got four A24 projects on his desk like a week after The Bear aired. And I was like, good, accept them all and then do The Bear season two.
You know, he's doing this new movie for A24. It's called Iron Claw.
Yeah.
And it's like a biopic on this wrestling family based out of Texas. And I'm very familiar with the family. And like, it is a very tragic story. Like, holy, very fucked. And like hearing him talk about it, he's gained 40 pounds worth of muscle for this role. And I'm like, damn, what? Dude. But like he's so good in this show. And like there's a frenetic energy to the way he performs, especially in that episode. That's the whole episode's a fucking winner.
Yeah.
Like he nails the frenetic pace. Even when he seems like he's out of control, he's fucking in control of the scene. And like I started watching this dude in Shameless. And I thought he was really good in Shameless. But watching him going into The Bear, it's like he knew that this was the moment, that this was the opportunity, and he kicked that shit into overdrive. Like, it is so fucking good. All the performances of everyone else, fucking phenomenal. But this man, I have never seen an actor own a show the way that this fucking guy has, and I'm so happy for him. And I can't wait to see more. Like, I need another season. I need to be that stressed again.
yeah, same. Like, I just want to echo Sebastian here. If you haven't seen The Bear, like, in America, it's on Hulu. In everywhere else in the world, it's on Disney Plus. There's no reason not to see it. It's so fucking good. It's a few episodes. Like, the time of each episode matches the sort of the crazy pacing of the show. Like, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Some episodes are like 20 minutes, some episodes are 30 minutes. The final episode is like 45 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's heartwarming moments. There's like, you know, when the show slows down to give something emotion, like it does so, but like, beyond that, they create the craziness of a kitchen through the through the pacing of like dialogue, characterization, like the arcs of some of the characters. It literally has for me one of the greatest character arcs in a TV show, and is the role of Tina, one of the chefs, someone that you literally go from I hope you get fired to like, yo, I love you now. the actor that got to play that role fucking nailed it, man. From and then Sydney, like, I had no idea. Like, I was rewatching The Bear, like, one of those shows you need to rewatch twice. And the role of Sydney, I was so interested by this actress because she's captivating every single moment she gets on screen, and she's the new role of Missy. She voices Missy now in Big Mouth. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that's awesome. And then you've got, like, you just know, like, they're taking this show to places. Because how else do you get Joel McHale and John Barenthal without telling them where the show is going to go? And you just know there's going to be moments in further seasons. Like, there's sometimes where John McHale just gets, a one frame flashback. It is one of those shows that literally beats you, like, it will beat you if you're not watching. Like, you look away for a couple of seconds, you'll probably miss like a flash cut of something. It's the way Jeremy Allen White like sort of calms himself down, like when he looks at a certain book and it's like he's like, you hear him breathe and it's like a like pictures of deliciously prepared food. It's like boom, boom, boom. And like, you can just feel like a shift in the tempo I was like,
yep.
How the fuck do you do that so clean, man?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. it was such a good show. And then the guy who plays Cousin, even though he's not Cousin, he's recently in Andor. Plays skiing in Andor. I know you've not seen Andor yet. I want to be one of those people that I was there with you. Like, I didn't, like, I double thought about Andor. Like, it wasn't something I wanted to watch. But my, like, Ryan, friend of the show, he was my best mate, got married. He kind of, like, sort of, Ed, watch Andor, bro. Like, every time I met him, he was like, you watch Andor yet?
And
yeah. Like, oh, man, there was a few times where I gave him some excuses why I didn't watch it. And he was like, watch Andor, bro. And I started watching it. I've not put that show down, bro.
Fuck.
Holy
I
want to
watch it.
Shit.
I need to watch it.
Like if you're into that kind of stuff, that sort of slow burn, espionage, low-key sci-fi, like sort of...
Mm-hmm.
Like, this show didn't need the Star Wars overlay, but because it does, it makes me want to watch even more because, like, you kind of know, like, sort of... Like, isn't this show meant to be, like, oh... Shit, like there's just like this. I've never watched Star Wars and gone, oh, shit. And then I thought to myself, when have I done that with Rogue One? This movie takes the idea of the Empire, the idea of Jedi and Sith, and just says, there's probably people living in that world that have no fucking clue about any of that shit. They're just trying to live from day to day, and that's what Andor is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's sort of stories upon stories that like just evolve and evolve and evolve as the world of Star Wars evolves within the story to what you expect. And it's like, and it's sort of how it affects the characters that they spent a couple of episodes building, and boom, you're like, whoa, shit, can't. Like, just like, yeah. I'm now, like, if Ryan did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. Go watch Andor, bro.
Yeah, no. Like,
my recommendation is to try and binge it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watch like, two episodes at a time. Like, that's what I would do. I'd watch two episodes at a time. Like, every episode seems to, like, sort of pass on to the next one. And then, like, sort of the story evolves every third episode.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, it's funny just because we're talking about Star Wars. It's crazy to me that, like, some of the bigger Star Wars characters now, you know, you got Mandalorian, got Andor, and even, you know, Ahsoka's getting her own TV show. All three.
Latin, bro!
Woo! There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Fucking Diego Luna, Pedro Pascal, Rosario Dawson's like... I'm just like, of all the fucking franchises for Latinos just organically make their way into, Star Wars? Fuck it. Here for it, bro.
Diego Luna as Cassian Andor, bro. I'm not gay, but I would. So, favorite recurring show, Stranger Things. I just needed to go through, nice. That was my no homo. Favorite recurring show, Stranger Things. Let's just barrel roll through this one. Stranger Things is what it is. People thought this show was dead. It's not. Me and you binged that whole shit when I came over to LA. Yes, I went over to LA and spent a day watching Stranger Things. We did come home from San Diego, so I was dying.
Yep.
I was happy we did that. Yeah.
It was good. So this one, I didn't have trouble with it, but I was bummed that I couldn't put like one of the two shows that I really would have liked to. Like, I was thinking Cobra Kai or Big Mouth, but the new seasons from this year, I don't know how you felt about them.
I loved Cobra Kai.
I thought Cobra
Kai would have failed. Chosen was such a good character.
Oh, no, yeah. I just think that the season before was just a little bit better than this one.
Oh, yeah, so much.
Yeah, so that's where my mind went.
This season definitely builds to a what I think, and actually kind of what I hope, is a climaxing season 6.
Yeah.
There's only one thing I think what they should have done, which is they should have killed off Chosen. Spoilers, if you haven't seen it, But I like the way they sort of set up that to like sort of the way it made me feel when I thought it happened.
Yeah.
And then they kind of cheated it. I was like, don't do that. Don't go into fantasy. That motherfucker got sliced across the chest with a katana.
Yeah, he should have died.
Like it was across the back and across the chest.
Yep.
My man is bleeding out. And if he hasn't, he was in like dirty chlorine filled pond water. That shit's going to get infected, bro.
Yeah.
Like they ruined the Mike Barnes return. Like they sort of played it off. He should have been a badass. Mm-hmm. He should have been the first character within the series to go from baddie to goodie, because we've been following Johnny Lawrence as a goodie since season one. Like he's no longer the baddie. They try to do like, oh, maybe Daniel LaRusso is the baddie. He's like, no, he's not. Yep. And then they brought back a bunch of characters, but compared to the season before with the whole Vietnam flashbacks, like that was so much better. And like actually maybe Cobra Kai wasn't that good, because doesn't this season end with that stupid motherfucker getting out of jail by killing people?
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect's gonna happen? You just like the jail's gonna realize you're not in it anymore.
Yeah.
And is gonna like you're gonna prison break your ass, bro. Like what are you gonna do in a couple of weeks, a couple of days? Oh, let me guess. You're going to find a way to get to that fucking final in a different fucking country and find a way to fuck it up. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Sure. Yeah.
So for me, the recurring season this year was actually Euphoria.
Man, you need to stop doing this. That came out this year?
Yeah.
I picked the wrong fucking show. I picked Stranger Things because I literally couldn't remember. Like, what have I watched that's recurring this year that was actually good? I thought you were going to pick Cobra Kai. That's why I picked Stranger Things.
No.
I'm changing my answer. My answer's the same as yours. It's Euphoria, not my fault. I forgot. I'm just a dumb shit. Euphoria was fucking phenomenal.
It's so good.
So
it's
good.
So Sydney's fucking like, good.
How great, like, of a show that takes a side character of Sydney Sweeney's character and then brings that shit to the fucking forefront of the season and just make, like, you hate her, you love her, and then, like, you've got Judd Apatow's daughter doing, like,
that whole episode.
The play. Oh, and then you just know, because like it spans two episodes, right?
Yeah.
It ends just as Sydney Sweeney's about to come in and like, fuck ruin shit it up.
It's so good. It is
so good.
It was definitely worth the wait. Like I know that there were a couple like single special things in between, but fuck me, dude. Euphoria season two is so good.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Favorite movie of the year.
I said it last year. This time last year, I said I was looking forward to The Northman.
Are you sticking with it?
I saw that shit. I looked at movies that came out this year, and a few close ones were... I hate having to say the name of this movie, because the name of this movie is Men. Alex Garland's horror from
June. It's a good movie, though.
You saw trippy fucking movie. I showed you Men.
I was like, wait, my man,
oh yeah, I made him sit. Men was up there. Wakanda Forever was up there. There was another movie as well. The Watcher. I spoke about this on the series. It was in my horror list that hasn't come out yet. By the time you listen to this one, it has a our horror episode is coming out in December. What the fuck were you doing in November? We were working, motherfucker. What were you doing? Listening to podcasts? Oh, good for you. I wish I had time. I don't even have time to listen to my own podcast, motherfucker. 13.5% times two, people. What is that number? The Northman. Great, great fucking movie. If you're a fan of Norse mythology, if you're a fan of Viking music, if you're a fan of like Viking at all, if you kind of want to see what Marvel leaves on the table for Vikings in terms of brutality, in terms of like sexuality as well, in terms of homosexuality as well, like the Northman just nails it. Robert Eggers, I don't know if he has like heritage in like from the Scandinavian countries, but damn.
Yeah.
The motherfucker's done 3 movies. He did the, I like to call the Vivitch, even though it's pronounced the witch. Hang on, I just got a message from a friend. Bro, I nutted over your collections. What the fuck? He showed me his Pokemon cards, and like he'd heard through the grapevine that I collect them, and he showed me some of his. So yesterday, I finally got the chance to like, you know, I just went, and I just whacked out my COVID addiction, you know, booklet of just like all the cards I collected, even though it was an addiction before COVID, because you know, you literally watched me every time we ventured outside of the apartment. You were like, I wonder how Ed's gonna gravitate this to buying Pokemon cards. It's like, we went to go see a movie, oh let's walk past this Japanese shop that sells Pokemon cards, oh let's go over here that's near a Walmart that sells Pokemon cards, well let's go to Universal City Walk that has Forbidden Planet that sells Pokemon cards. There's been some moments where I'm like, yeah, you know, the idea of cards being in some of the collections I've bought over the years.
My fucking headphones are dying.
Oh, no, sorry. Northman, great movie. Awesome. Yours.
Nice.
Fucking right, Pokemon cards. They ruin everything.
So my pick is actually a movie that you thought I was going to pick last year. Earlier this year. So my favorite movie of the year is Clerks 3.
The movie I thought you were gonna do. Now,
I didn't know if it was gonna come out, but it did. And fuck me, man. Fuck me. It is so fucking good. And if you know, if that's the end of that story, it is the perfect way to end it.
Has to be.
It is so good. You and me and my brother, we went to go see it. We saw it in fucking City Walk. We met fucking Jason Mewes.
No, dude. I knew you were going to talk about this. I met Jason Mewes. I was there. Big Man was over here buying Junior Mints. I'm tapping on this man's shoulder. I'm like, bro, it's you look at me and just goes, bro, what? I'm trying to buy Junior Mints. Like, I actually made you angry because I was like, I was disturbing you so much. I was like, bro, like, I'm trying to remember my fucking pin code over here. And Jason Mewes comes over and is like, you should listen to your boy, man.
He gets in my fucking face and I'm so starstruck. I can't see.
Saw
I can't
me
put a sentence
struggling.
Together.
Saw me struggling. To be like, bro, it's like, dude, did you just miss, bro? Come on, man. I don't even know what to say right now. You're angry at me. I get that, but it's fucking Jay, bro. He goes, you should listen to your boy, man. And you just like, I don't know if you dropped your Junior Mints or if you even forgot you had them. You just go, oh. You literally froze.
It was out of body experience, bro. I was like, no fucking way, man.
We got a
no
proper conversation with him. We got proper photos. Mm-hmm. He even comes into the screening. He gives everyone like 5 seconds to take a photo.
Yep.
Comes over to us and goes, nah, your boy's already got one. You good? You know, enjoy the movie.
It's like, I got you guys already. He's like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, remembered. You did. And I was like, he's going to give us another one. He's like, nah, I respect that you remembered. I just threw my bottle opener. Not that I should have any more after this, but I probably will do.
But like,
that was one of my favorite memories of our short ass time in LA last time.
But the movie itself, dude, it was funny. It was poignant. It hit emotions that I didn't think it was going to be able to fucking hit. There's a bit of a dark story, obviously, because, you know, Kevin Smith, you know, heart attack and putting that into the movie. So that was Mm-hmm. But it was just... It cemented the friendship of Dante and Randall for me as one of, like, those quintessential movie friendships.
Yeah.
And it's just all around.
It's me and
it
you.
Was so good, man.
I don't know if me and you are Dante and Randall or Jay and Silent Bob. I feel like we're a combination.
Honestly, yeah. Honestly, I think we're definitely a mix of both pairs.
Yeah. Because like there's moments where I feel like I've not existed without you, you've not existed without me. And like there's moments where they talk about like sort of the fragility of existence in mm-hmm. like Clerks 1, Clerks 2, and especially in Clerks 3. But yeah, like I just feel like people they take for granted the Clerks mm-hmm. trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, they see it as like some of them, like people watch these movies and just think, oh, it's just like stoner comedy. It doesn't mean anything. And I was like, okay, cool. It doesn't have to, but for me, it like these movies do hold meaning. The yeah. fact that Kevin Spacey found like a meaning to show a story about
Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith found meaning to show a story about mm-hmm. two clerks in a corner store just yep. to make a bit of money to show that mm-hmm. he was there in the TV and film industry is like, that's what we're doing now. Even though we're a little yep. bit older, like, but like that was the problem back then. You know, if you had the ability to make a movie with a couple of $1,000, i.e. Kevin Smith, Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino style, that was your film school. Your film school was like learning, because going to film school turned you into like Francis Ford Coppola, George Lucas, Martin Scorsese, which was kind of the other side. You either learn in film school to go straight to commercial, or you learn in indie and earn the commercial. Whereas now... There's a home in indie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, sure. And like sort of, I'm gonna go a little bit poignant here for like people that sort of perhaps look down on me and you when we go to the family meetings, when we go to the family dinners. You know, we're not earning a lot of money. We don't have like significant others. We don't have our own house, and like that used to be a problem for me, but now. Now I'm like, I sit here and I feel like at least I don't wake up on someone else's time to earn someone else more money than I do to, like, I don't really want to shit on the normality of life, but, like, my life is exciting. Like I wake up mm-hmm. every day, and every day is a new day, and yeah. that's my reason to keep going sometimes. Like yeah. the fact that I can wake up and go, I can literally change my storyline. Like I can think of something today that I didn't think of tomorrow that could propel me to the rest of my life. And honestly, that's where West Flies the Raven, I think, is going to take me, man. Some people are working on this. Some people are coming on to work on this movie as we near completion and are like, whoa, I read this script a couple of months ago because I knew who I was going to bring on like that. Like, as an executive producer, if you don't know who you're bringing on for music and sound design in pre-production, then you're going to fail in post-production.
Yep.
You need to make, that's why pre-production exists. Pre-production for post-production. Like, let production just be production. Let pre-production get you ready for production. Like, get people ready for production. But in for certain positions, know where you're going to be in post-production, in pre-production. And that's where some short movies fail. And essentially, some AAA movies as well. But I knew I was bringing on. And so I sent them the script. And they were like, yo, the script to screen on this is mad. And I'm like, it's other people talking about this movie that sort of like, as Together Alone, in my eyes, has failed. A lot of people would disagree, But it, for me, mm-hmm. my perspective of Together Alone, it failed. It didn't do what I wanted to do. But Westwise the Raven, it just, I feel like I'm working on something different, man. It feels like I can't, like, I knew I couldn't wait to show people Together Alone. I can't wait to show people this. If you ever get the chance, Sebastian, if you ever get the chance to film something on Anamorphic, make sure you've got stunts. Make sure you've got wide lenses. Well, if you're on filming on Anamorphic, you will be filming on wide lenses. Yeah. Make sure you've got the right crew. Make sure you've got the right people behind you. If you know, for whatever reason, you're going to be filming on anamorphic lenses, make that shit your goal to sort of just milk the shit out of. It's, holy crap. Westwise the Raven, it makes Rings of Power look like a fucking children's show. And we barely have blood. We barely have any special effects. I'm proud of, like, everything you see on Westwise the Raven, it's all on the camera. It's all practical, bro. We enhanced some shit in post-production, but it's all there. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Oh, man. And, like, it feels like my Clerks. Which is why, you know, why this, the Clerks trilogy, it, like, throughout the last couple of years has meant so much more to me than just a comedy. Mm-hmm. It used to be a movie I could watch to feel good, but now it's a movie I watch and be like, I understand this now.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
I don't have that yet.
Kevin Smith, thank you, is all I have to say. Thank you.
I don't.
For giving us these movies.
Yeah, no, I don't have that yet.
Bro...
You
made some noise in Cancun, bro.
But, like, just jumping off of your point and, like, you know, how different our lives are, you know, yeah, we're, neither of us have a significant other. We're both still living at home. But, like, looking back at this year alone, I went to upstate New York, mm-hmm. to Texas, to work on a project. I got to go to the UK.
You did.
I got to go to Cancun. I got to work on a bunch of shoot. I did 7 shorts this year. 7 like little shorts, and like directed them, shot them, edited them. You know, some of them got a little bit of acclaim, so there's a little bit of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's trying to get, putting myself in the mentality. It's like, yeah, I'm not where I would want to be in the traditional sense. But goddamn, my life is exciting right now. Like, everything I'm doing right now in terms of, like, work, personal life, it's where I wanted this career to take me in, and it's taking me. So I'm here for it. And, like, I know, I kind of joked, like, I haven't found my Clerks moment, but I know it's not far off. Like, that's how I feel right now. It's like, I know I'm inching closer and closer to it. And, like, yeah, you mentioned, like, you know, I've got things in the works, and I'm hoping they, you know, they pan out. But it's also like, you know, if they don't, okay, that's fine. I'll move on to the next one, and then hopefully the next one does. And I know that it's on the horizon, and I'm inching towards it every day. So yeah. I haven't gotten that yet, but I know I will.
It's,
and I think that's, because, like, one of the things that stood out to me when I was listening to the episode from earlier this year was I called 2022 for both of us the year of grit. And honestly, dude, and everything that you and I have done up to this point this year has, I think that's the thing that I probably should have said I was the most right about. Like, the amount of work that we have put in to ourselves, to pushing ourselves forward professionally, personally, mentally, emotionally, even health-wise. Like, this is what 2022 has been. And I feel like going into 2023, we are stronger versions of ourselves, and we can only go further.
Yeah, man. It's, for me, throughout the year, I kept seeing this TikTok. and it's from a pretty shit movie, and I've just brought it up now. I think said by any other actor, this wouldn't have hit much for me, but from such a shit movie to for such a line to be said. So from The Passengers, Michael Sheen plays the sort of robotic bartender that whilst everyone is sleeping, he's there working, and even Chris Pratt says like you're always cleaning the same glass, and Michael Sheen goes, you know, it's like it makes people nervous to see a bartender not really doing anything. You know, means the bar really isn't working, so to speak. And he has this quote when Chris is like, just fuck it, tell me something real. Prove to me that you're not just a machine. And Michael Sheen says this, you get so hung up on where you'd rather be if you get to make the most of where you are. Every cloud has a silver lining. You're not where you want to be. You feel like you're supposed to be somewhere else. Well, say you could snap your fingers and be wherever you wanted to be. I bet you still feel the same way. Not in the right place. Point is, you get so hung up on where you'd rather be, you forget to make the most of where you are. Take a break from worrying from what you can't control. Live a little. It's funny. We all have dreams. We all plan our futures. We're all the captain of our fates. But we're passengers. We go where fate takes us. That last bit is a take on I'm the captain of my fate, the master of my reality. Mm. It's a very, very good poem. And I think that, like, for that sort of mini monologue to be said in one of, like, the most revered sci-fi movies within the last 10 years. No one puts Passengers in their top 5, their top 10. Yep. Probably doesn't even scrape their top 20, man. But like that probably line, not. Like I remember that line. Mostly because Michael Sheen is just one of the greatest actors of all time. Like, he's in Frost Nixon. I think he plays Robert Frost in that movie. Fuck me. And again, it's another one of those things I didn't understand at first. Now I do. And I feel like I did that this year. There was moments where I was like, I should be standing on the balcony looking at LA at midnight, and I'm not. I'm still in shithole Birmingham. I know there's some people in Birmingham who's like, yeah, mate, what? You calling shithole, yeah? I was like, come on. Like, it's a shithole. And like 2 seconds later, they'd be like, yes, so. Because, you know, it's a shithole. You know, there's a lot of times where there's not much for me here. But there was moments this year where I really felt like, even though I'm not happy with where Together Alone is, whilst I was working on it, it gave my life meaning. It gave my whole 2022 meaning. And am I thankful at the end of the day that Together Alone exists? 100%. 100%. That shit kept me going in moments in 2022 when I felt like I had nothing to go for. And I was like, shit, like, just the idea of Together Alone going somewhere at times was enough to keep me going. And I feel like, you know, that's why we keep doing this. We keep doing this to go from project to project. You know, and sometimes some are better than others. Sometimes the people around you, you feel like are moving faster than you, but all you need to do is talk to them for more than 2 minutes to realize they're just doing what you're doing. They're hustling. They're grafting. And if you look at someone hustling and doing well and you think, oh, fuck them, that should be me, then it's like, get the fuck out of this business. Get the fuck out of this business. If you look at someone else doing well at your level and you resent them for it, especially if you know that person, you should be the first person in their DMs going, fuck yes, mate. Fuck yes. Kicking some ass. Kicking some ass. Ex-knifer style, man. And that's like, and I need to see more of my friends do that. And I hope some of my friends who don't talk to me personally, look at me and what I'm doing, and they don't resent me for it. I hope they wish me well, because like I look at them like, and sometimes I don't talk to someone because I think they're too busy. I think like, oh, I see what you're doing, I see you moving, I see you grafting, and like whether you know, whether you don't know, just know that I used to work with you, I used to know you, and I'm so happy that you're fucking killing it. Because one day, I hope we're both in the same after party, just going, fuck yes, mate. Beer. Beer. Roll credits.
All right, everyone. Remember to rate, subscribe, follow, share, and we will catch you next time.
Watch some fucking movies.
Watch some fucking movies. Take it easy, everyone.
Come join us on this trip. Now we're like doing the throwing out the script.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip.
I'm sorry.
Now we're throwing out the script.
I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weakness calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.